Our ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Excuse me. Thou knowest my downstanding, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Can't see. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Or whither shall... If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shalt thy hand lead me, and the right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be night about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Excuse me, I have a little trouble with my emotions. I just clear so I can see something. Okay. I'd like to refer back to that verse 14 of this, what I've just read, where David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The Lord has always in his teaching taught us by way of something we know. This morning we don't even talk about this physical body and the likeness it is to the church. both each have many members. We understand how this body works, so when we understand it, we understand how the church will work. This physical body that the Lord gave us is a wonder of the creation. It's durable. And when all the members do their part, it works perfectly. It accomplishes great things. In Psalms 9:10, it says, "The days of our years are 70 years, and by reason of strength they be 80 years, or 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for in it is soon cut off and we fly away." The scripture tells us it's appointed to us to want once to die. That's an appointment we all will keep. Brother Vern mentioned that. That's come to us because of sin. It was pronounced upon a man because of sin. And it comes to all of us. So this morning we kind of draw this comparison between this body and the church. Consider what you have. You ever thought about these things on any arm? You can pick up the smallest little thing. How we can think and figure things out, most of us can. But think of that. What the Lord has given. He's given us something that works. We feel good with it, most generally. So this morning we draw this likeness between the church and ourselves. We'll first look at our physical body. We all have one, and it all works the same. We'll first look at the heart. We all have one of those. It's probably the most essential member of the body, which pumps the blood from every part of us. If it doesn't, we die. The heart starts beating a month after conception. A little life in that little body from that time on. When we are growing, it's about the size of our fist. It's just a muscle, all it is. It takes exercise to keep in shape. It's strengthened by the work it does. It is placed in the middle of our chest, pointed towards our left side a little bit, the point of it. The work of a healthy heart, as some of the younger people would say, is awesome. It beats about 70 times a minute. Or more than 2.5 billion beats in the lifespan of 70 years. As said, less than a month after conception, it starts to beat, and of course, it beats the longer we live. We can't live without it. The adult heart pumps about 5 ounces of blood each stroke or each beat. It can pump a volume of blood equal to the flow of a full open Christian faucet. It moves that much blood, this little pump. All this work is done one beat at a time, and yet it rests a little more time than it works. Between each beat it rests, of course. In a lifetime of 70 years, the heart rests 40 years. The heart is well protected behind the breastbone. It's a solid bone there. Me and Tom, we know what that is. It's been sawed in two. It's almost impossible to hurt a heart by exercise or hard work. It's made to work. It needs to work to keep healthy. Other parts of the body wear out before the heart will. You get tired other places. The blood, the life of the body. The heart's work is to pump blood through the body. It's got to reach every tip of our toes and fingers before it's going to live. It's got this little thing pumping in us. The Lord says, be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. And thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Take the blood from the body and you have a dead body. But the blood must be pure for the body to be healthy. It must be not be contaminated with the foreign matter. Many of us who are older remember the days before penicillin, when people died from blood poisoning, mostly children in the fall, went barefoot all summer and the feet widened out, they get new socks and shoes for school. They get a blister on the heel and they die from blood poisoning. I talked to Mom one time before she died about what the hell. She said they come to the conclusion it was something in the sock, the stocking they had brought. Their feet were all flattened out and they had to get molded into a shoe. Nothing fit, and that they would die of blood poisoning because of that. When I was in the mail calling business, there was a farmer on my route. He would not go to the doctor. He'd been sick through the day, and he died of appendicitis. He died of blood poisoning in the blood. But the blood must be pure to fight. But it will fight if you give it a chance. The brain tells the body what to do. And it reacts instantly. When it gives a sense of signal, no heart would not beat if it didn't get a signal from the brain. We wouldn't do anything if we didn't have a signal from the brain. We just lay there. We couldn't move. But God, in His generosity and wisdom, gave us two of many things. He gave us spare parts. He gave us two eyes. But we have known people, one, they got along. We all have two lungs, and it's possible to live with one. We know people do that. We have two kidneys, and one, we can get along with one of those. Two hands, two feet, two arms, two legs, two ears. It's possible to get along with just one of any of these. Some people do. Sometimes you save the rest of the body, it has to be a part of a member taken away from it. Must be cut off from the blood supply so it will not poison the rest of the body. But with all these afflictions that can come upon us, and they will in time to all of us, the body will fight it. Many times it needs help, but we can see why David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We can all see that if we look at ourselves. Have you ever just sat and watched people go by? Sometime Margaret liked to shop. I mean, Don find the bench, just sat there and watch. Everybody going to walk along and looking this way and that. All the same to you, look at that face. You know, that's one thing we have over each other that not one of us looks like. Oh, we look a little like. I remember we went down to Brother Mike Warner's, his folks' 50th. Walked in there, and there's a guy standing up there talking. And there was Mike standing, talking shorty. They look just like. I didn't know he had a twin brother. But they tell me that the identical twins, a mother can tell them apart. Some, they guess so they can. Probably by accident or something. But see, we all have that. We all have that over one another. None of us looks like. We act like a lot of times. Our actions are normal, but we don't look like each other very much. I find out where I am now. You know, I wonder if the Lord knew that. We all looked like how that would be. Now, when you say, you look at me, I don't look like any of you. I've always thought that about our family. My brother and sister never thought any of us looked like at all. I guess some people think we do, but we didn't. I don't think we do. Now the church, what can we do? How is it like this? The church is Christ's kingdom here on earth, and He's the head of it. His sole purpose is the saving of the souls of men and women. That's the sole purpose for being here. Ephesians 4:15-16 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ." That's speaking of the church. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh measure of the body unto the edifying of self in love." Ephesians 1:22-23, speaking here of Jesus. "And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Christ is the head of the brain of the church. He's the head of it. It's His. He died for it. He sends us signals through His word what we're to do, what this body's supposed to do. We need to listen to it. But it's different from a brain. A signal comes from a brain to tell me to move my arm. I do it right now. In the church, we got to put forth some effort to do what it says. We must, of course, He sent us signals how to rightly divide the truth. And there's one thing we need to understand. We use this physical body to save the inner man. We use this corruptible body to do the work of the Lord. And when we do our good deeds, we do it with this body. We prove our faith by the work of our hands. By what we say with our tongue, by what we see with our eyes, what we feel in our heart, that's how we do the work. I believe the heart of the church has to be the gospel. Because if it's not taught in its fullness, you don't have anything. Must be taught in its fullness and obeyed in its fullness, or it will bring spiritual death to that member, sometimes the whole congregation. And just as our heart is durable and powerful, so is the gospel. How it can change our lives. Brother Bob tells us so often how it's changed his. We can see that in him. That power of the gospel is the same as it's always been, and it just needs to find believers. It seems every day we read about abuse between husband and wives and children. Children being brought into the world, not being taken care of. I read it probably a year ago in the paper, some little 5 or 6 year old children kicking and stomping a baby to death to take his tricycle away from him. Think of that. Think of these little kids with these guns shooting each other. That's what they've been raised up and what they look at. Probably the greatest abuse of all we can inflict on our children is not teaching them about Jesus. That's the greatest abuse of any. To raise a child up and never know the Lord, that's what falls upon us to do that. Someday, it says, every knee shall bow. That little cute little child running around will bow before Jesus someday. If it's never known Jesus, that's our fault. We didn't teach him. As the blood is the life of the physical body, so Jesus is the church. In Ephesians 1, 6 and 7, it says, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. We were once dead in sin. All of us was. But we're made alive through Jesus' blood. As we're brought out in the natural body, whose bloodstream must be pure. It's the same in the church. It must remain pure. I believe the blood of Christ cleanses us anew when we fail. I think it's here. If we're connected to the body, we must be connected to the church. That washes us clean when we ask forgiveness. I believe that. But we must be a strong connection member of that body. When we pray to God through Jesus, say, forgive me for what I've done. We believe that he will do that. We can all, as members of the church, should have this cleansing of ourselves through prayer. And we need it. We need it every once in a while. Sometimes in order to save the body, one member must be amputated to save the rest of the body. We all know when people have had that done. Same in the church. Sometimes a member must be disconnected from it. Because of the influence you might have on the rest of the body. In Matthew 5:29 and 30, it says this. This would apply to all of us. If thy right eye offend thee or cause thee to sin, pluck it out. And if thy right hand, offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The day my brother Don had his new knee put in, we was up there to see him before he went to the operating room. He said, they're just going to cut this old knee off and throw it out the door. It ain't no good. It wasn't any good to him. It was harmful to him. But they took that away. Now he's working again. He's walking like Norley. He can be fixed. Sometimes that's important. We have to take one member off to save the rest of it. Same in the church, which is always a painful thing. But what a life it is. In this body that God has given, to be a member of a church, what an experience that is. And if the Word promises there's better yet to come if we're faithful. But how we need to count our blessings. To to have the feeling, I'm a good worker in the church. I do something. What a feeling that is. I'm sure most of us here could say that. I don't know a group, better group of people to do the work than you guys. But when a time comes before Jesus, we can stand before him not empty-handed, but full of good works. What an experience that would be. What an experience would be to go there empty-handed too. Be there. We need to remember this life is not a rehearsal. We will not pass this way again. This is it. All we have is today. Notice, yesterday's always gone. Tomorrow never gets here. We just have today. We need to do what we need to do today. David said, I'll read that verse again. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. We need to be thankful for our physical body. It's the greatest part of the creation. But we need to be count our blessing each day. When we can get up and go. Don't depend on somebody for everything. We need to be thankful. If you're here this morning and not a member of the church, not connected to this body, think about that. You don't even have the blood supply or nothing. If you have most being connected and then taken away because of something that you might have done or some trouble you might have had, think of this. Away from the blood supply, you're laying there dead. What it says, sin brings death. It does. It will. So this morning, if we can help in any way, come forward, we'll, while we stand and sing.